Isn't it good to know that God makes all things new? Amen. Now help me make welcome this morning, ministering to us in the Word of God, Reverend Andrew Sakala. He is a theologian, he's a pastor, he is a father, he's a husband, but he's also a member of our church. He's currently the registrar at Kreso University here in Lusaka, Zambia. Please give him a wonderful welcome as he ministers the Word of God to us this morning. Reverend Sakala, we're glad to have you.
Thank you, sir.
I said the first service, and I'll say it to the second service again. It's not every day you have a theologian speak to you, so open up your hearts and receive God's best.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. God bless. Thank you. Praise the Lord. I greet you all in Jesus' name. And I'd like to acknowledge and give honor to the leadership of the church, Pastor Walker and Haley Schurz, and also Pastor Benjamin and Pastor William Cantamoya, for this honor and privilege I have to minister God's word today. I really do appreciate it, and I take it as a great honor. I would also like to acknowledge my wife. So I say that we got married on the same day, and we share the same father. Amen. God. We share the same father, and we have three side effects, and she did a good job to neutralize all my ugliness in the kids. Amen. You'll be interested to know that, you know, Chungu, who was singing here, his late dad was my go-between. His dad is the one who went and convinced her dad. You know, that, no, he's an okay guy, you know. So, I think she's found out that I'm an okay guy. Praise the Lord. Thank you very much for this honor. And I'd like to just get into God's word. And we trust the Lord that all of us will be blessed by what God has to say to us today. Amen. And, you know, I had planned that you'd see everything on the screen, but the technicalities couldn't allow that. So I hope that I'll be able to be clear enough for you to follow and appreciate God's word. And it came out of what Pastor preached last week. And if you were here, you'll recall his experience of getting on a plane and getting into first class without paying for it. And what seat did he get on? 5C, right? He was told to go on to seat number 5C. So I took the same theme of seat number 5C, where we find rest in God. Amen? Find rest in God. And so please follow me, and we endeavor to make it as clear as possible. You know, there were three kids who were talking among themselves, preacher's kids, and preacher's kids are pretty unique in many ways, because they live in an environment where there's always scripture going, being tossed to and fro in the home. And they have such commonality among themselves with regard to their experiences as children of preachers. So these three kids were talking among themselves, and they were saying, one of them said, "You know what, my dad is a good preacher. My dad preaches without notes." So the other two thought, "Wow, that is something." So the second one thought, "Okay, I'll beat that." He says, "Ah, your dad preaches without notes? My dad preaches with his eyes closed." All right. So the third one thought, "Man, that is something." So I said, "Okay, you think your dad is good? My dad preaches without thinking." Yeah. He thought it was a compliment, but that is bad, isn't it? So I'll endeavor to preach with thinking to you, and I just want to prod your mind to think about Jesus this morning, to think about him in a fresh new light, and appreciate the invitation that Jesus is making to you and me. Now I'm talking about finding rest in God, and would you kindly turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. It is Jesus speaking, and perhaps it is a familiar portion of scripture to most of you. And if it's not, let's just look at it and appreciate what Jesus is saying. Matthew chapter 11 And verse 28, Jesus comes and he stands before people and he says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." There are not so many places where Jesus talks about what he is, but this is one of the places where he makes an open invitation to you and I to come to him specifically, and he even gives you the reason why you need to come to him. Now, you see, life has a lot of challenges, and perhaps even to get here you had a few challenges, and you went through a difficult time to actually get here, and you're thinking, okay, I think I'll just try and make my way to church. I have nothing else to do. And therefore, let me just do this, you know, and then I'll go and kill that guy after I come from church. Or I'll go and hang myself and forget it all. Now, before you do that, can you give me some time to talk to you? All right? Just give me a little bit of time to talk to you and tell you how you can sit in the seat 5C and enjoy the ride. Amen? So we have to step into the house, step into God's house and experience what's inside, because outside it's very restless. Every one of us has a right to live in freedom. Amen? We're talking about 50 years of independence very soon. We have a right to live in freedom. We have the potential to live a victorious life. Every one of you in here has the potential to live a victorious life. Everyone has the capacity given by God to live a fulfilled life. You have the capacity, and you're not exempted from living a victorious and fulfilled life. You're not exempted. Jesus stands and he says to the people that he's talking to, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." It's an invitation that he says, all who labor and are heavy laden. Whatever those labors and burdens that we have, Jesus makes an open invitation. And I think the reason why he makes the open invitation, because he has the capacity to deal with it. There is nothing too difficult for God. Can I hear an amen to that? Amen. There is nothing too difficult for God. Turn to your neighbor and say, now he's talking to you. Mm-hmm. Aha. So I want us to sit in the seat 5C by looking at what the invitation entails. And I'm using the letter C for us to remember. Jesus, he says, come unto me. The first thing that I want us to notice, it begins with relationship. Get connected to Jesus. The first C, get connected. If you're not connected to Jesus, no amount of help can really give you an ability to withstand certain issues in life. No amount of help, no amount of motivation can help you overcome certain things in life. Because life has all kinds of issues that come our way. And you know, there are some things you can't prevent. Life just happens. Isn't it? It happens. There are some things we can't help. They just happen. And Jesus knows that life has many challenges. And so the greatest determinant of mental and spiritual health and freedom is a true relationship with God, an understanding of God, and a right relationship with him. You are incapable of carrying life's burdens without him. Now let me ask you a question. Those of you who are non-believers, how do you manage? How do you manage? Do you know, life without God is incredible, you know. It's difficult to understand how you manage, because everything is tension. Everything is just, you know, suspicion. It's difficult to even have a free relationship with people. You're married, but you suspect her all the time. You know, where are you? On the phone. And you're hearing male voices in the background. Who is that? Who is that? Why are you there? Do you know, I can't live like that. I can't. I don't know how you manage. And I don't even know how you make a choice to marry an unbeliever. Because, you know, for me, that was a no-go area. You know why? Because I used to think to myself, if I marry an unbeliever, a woman, of course, there's a possibility that she can get demon possessed. I mean, that's a possibility, isn't it? Now, can you imagine? I'm sleeping at night and she's demon possessed. That is, you must think about such things, you know. She could just wake up and slap me while I'm sleeping. So I said to myself, that's a no-go area. It doesn't matter whether you're Miss World. Doesn't matter. You're not in the family of God. We don't belong together. Yeah. So Jesus is inviting us to come to him. That's the first place. Get connected. Get connected. I told the story earlier about how important it is to connect with God and let God come into the mix of your life. You know, I was driving down the road with my son. He's a small boy. So I had the radio on. I'll not tell you which station unless I advertise them. But I had a radio on. And there was a song playing. And it wasn't a Christian song, but this guy was talking about how he loves this woman, etc. That's usually what they sing about. He loves this woman and how that God has blessed him, you know. I didn't realize that my son was listening to the words. So when the song finished, and he knew that it wasn't, a Christian song, so he says, "Dad," and I'm driving, and I said, "Yeah." He says, "This man who was singing," I said, "Yeah, how can he mix God and a woman?" See? So I thought for a moment, if I say it's okay, I'll destroy his level of thinking. So I just said, imagine I. But you see, at our level, we need to mix those two very well. Are you with me? We need to mix those two. If you don't mix those two very well, you'll be in trouble. You gotta mix God and the woman for you to get the right one. Eh? So when you get connected to Jesus, everything becomes new. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, "Therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." All things have become new. Get connected. Jesus' invitation is for you to come to him, not to anybody else, not to a church, not to a person, not to a society, not to an institution. Come to him. It's to him. He's the one who makes the difference. He's the one that you need. He's the one who created you and knows what you need. He's the one who knows what you're made of. He understands you better than you understand yourself. Praise the Lord. He understands you better than you understand yourself. So rather than you running away from him, come to him. Because he even knows what bothers you, what hang-ups you have, what fears you have. So Jesus says, "Come unto me." Anybody, everybody who is heavy laden, who labors, and he will give you rest. That's the first C. As we're sitting down in seat number 5C, we're trying to find rest in God. The second point is come into communion with Christ. Build intimacy with God. Jesus says in the passage of scripture we're looking at, "Take my yoke upon you." Take my yoke upon you. He's talking to a farming community. He's talking to people who understand what oxen do, what plowing is about. And so when they hear a yoke, they know that it is something that you put across the shoulders of two oxen that are plowing, and therefore they go in the same direction. they're able to go and somebody's supposed to steer them, and they're able to do the job that they're intended to do. And so this oxen yoke is what Jesus is referring to. When you are yoked to Jesus, you go his direction. You don't go astray. Where he goes, you go. So Jesus is saying, you know, when you come to me, we get yoked together and we move in the right direction. And there is no way Jesus will lead you into a destructive way. No way. Because he's God and he's perfect. He's holy. He can't do you wrong. It's impossible. For us as humans, you know, we have fluctuating emotions. One day you wake up, you're on top of the world. The next day, you don't want to know anybody. And especially when you woke up after a nightmare, you don't want to know anybody. And there are some people who are worse than others, isn't it? You know those ones with emotions that are like... You know what? The last time you met, you were excited together. The next time... How are you, brother? Then you think, hey, there are people like that. But God is not like that. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. He'll treat you the same, with the same holiness, the same compassion, the same love and care that he did before and that he did to everybody else. But you see, when you take Jesus' yoke, the thing that is most important is that you take on his heart. You take on something of his nature. You begin to be like him. Amen. You begin to be like him. And one of the areas that I think that separates the boys from the men in spiritual things is to be a person, first of all, who's forgiven of their sins, and a person who also forgives. Forgiving is a good prerequisite to having your faith work for you. If you are unforgiving, you short-circuit your faith. Are you with me? You've got to learn to forgive. And some of you perhaps need to make a conscious decision to forgive the wrongs that you were done. Huh? Don't be like some who will stand there and say, 25 years ago, when he did that to me, I'm telling you, I've never forgotten. And for as long as I have breath in these nostrils, they shall see. You're harming yourself. And then what is also sad about being unforgiving is that the person you're bitter against has a great time, you know. And then when you see them, they have a great time while you're musing with your problem. Especially in relationships. Especially. He dumped you. Now I just want to kill myself. How can he do that to me? He's a human being. That's what they do. So I'm going to take a rope. I said, and allow me to say it again. I said, there ain't no way I'm going to kill myself for a woman. I decided that many years ago, there ain't no way I'm going to kill myself over a chick. I'm telling you. Do you know why? It's because there are 7 billion people on earth. 7 billion. Now surely, one of those is going to love you. One of them. Just one of those 7 billion. Now, I kill myself for this who has rejected me. I go and end the potential God has given. The loving prospects of my life. You know, not everybody will ever think you are great, you know. It's no big deal. Just, you know, somebody will think you are great. I mean, look at me, I'm married. Do you see? It's very important that we have a perspective to life that is healthy. Are you hearing me? Praise the Lord. We develop that intimacy. The Bible says, but if we walk, in 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. You know, the verb there is continue to cleanse you from all sin. You walk in the light. You have intimacy with God. And the blood of Jesus continues to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That was the second C. Come into communion. The third C. Develop conviction. The passage of scripture there says, learn from me. Learn from me. Jesus said, learn from me. God's perspective to life. Allowing him to change your heart. Learn from me. Do things my way. Have my attitude. My perspective. Seeing life the way he sees it. And seeing yourself the way he sees you. Amen. Seeing yourself the way he sees you. Living a God-controlled conscience. Your conscience is controlled by God. You have a perspective to life that is healthy. You have developed convictions as you relate to Jesus. You know, I can't do this and I can't do that. I don't want to do this and I don't want to do that. Because there's something inside of me that has taught me to abide in Christ. 1 John 2:27. That anointing that you have within you teaches you all things and teaches you to abide in Christ. That's what it does. That's what it does. You just have something on the inside that God has developed because of your relationship with it, and you're learning from him. Learning his attitude. Learning his way of doing things. You're able to learn and be transformed. Seeing life the way he sees it. Amen. Seeing life the way he sees it. So develop conviction. As you're learning from Christ, you have certain convictions that rule your life. I am going to do this. I'm not going to do that. I said to myself, I will never beat my wife. Never. Have I ever? Never. Like somebody said, have you ever thought about divorce? I said, no. Murder? Yes. See? There are certain things I just want to do. Of course, murder I won't. But you develop certain convictions because you are yoked to Jesus and you're learning of him. There are certain things that rule your life. We don't have to police you everywhere you are. Don't do this, don't go there, you know. And you give angels a lot of work, you know. You give angels so much work. Just the minute you wake up, they are on alert. Auka, 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 auka. And then you get into your car, they are on alert. You know, you give them a lot of work. We develop convictions because our relationship with Jesus is consistent and continuous. The fourth C is receive comfort. Jesus says, I am gentle, in that passage of scripture, I am gentle and lowly of heart. You will find rest for your souls. He says, you know why you will find rest? I'm gentle. I'm lowly of heart. He's not antagonistic to you. He's not difficult to you. He's not aggressive to you. He's not harsh to you. He says you will find rest for your souls. He's gentle. We need to have people who are gentle with us. Isn't that right? You can start again. Jesus calms every storm. He calms every storm. Just like you remember, they were out at sea. The disciples were worried. And they went to wake him up when he was in the stern there, sleeping on a pillow. That's what the Bible says. He was fast asleep and the boat was being tossed to and fro. And then they went and said to him, wake up, don't you care that we perish? Some of you have probably said that up to God. Don't you care I am perishing? I am perishing. Jesus got up and he spoke to the wind and the storm, and there was such a calm on the sea. And then they were shocked. They said, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obeys him? When you come to Jesus, he will show you something of himself that you haven't experienced yet. He's able to calm the storms. He's able to calm the storms. You have to come to him. You can start again. Amen? A fresh new start. And let God heal you on the inside. Heal you so that you face life. Receive his comfort. And you know, sometimes we refuse to be comforted. We nurture the hurt. We nurture the grief. And then you've been grieving for years. And a little while, you know, you leave it there for a little while, but you put it in a drawer where you can find it. Then you pick it up again and grieve some more. I said, you know, sometimes life, you need to let go of certain things and move on. And when we allow Jesus to heal our hurts and comfort us, we are allowing ourselves to take a new leaf and a new page in life. I said, you know, I sometimes you think life is out of control. And it's true, sometimes it is. You know, I remember I gave this example. I lose my mother today. 5 days later, my father-in-law dies. Then 5 months later, my dad dies. You almost think I have a demon of funerals. And there's no such thing. But there has to come a point where you let go of the grief, because there are some things you can't change. Are you following me? We do what is right. We do what is necessary. We do what God tells us. And we get God's results. But you see, when you go through a life or you are grieving, and all of us have had some grief, you're grieving and you're constantly saying to yourself, it's torture. You know, when you constantly say to yourself, I could have done something about it. If only I did. If only I did that. Why didn't I this? Why didn't I do that? Does anybody identify with me? You've got to let it go. Let God comfort you and move on. And smile again. Can I hear an amen to that? Amen. Smile again. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, it says, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. You see, comfort is not the absence of trouble. It's not. In the midst of trouble, God can give you comfort. Jesus said in John 14, 27, he says, my peace I give unto you, not the way the world gives it. Give I that peace to you. It's his kind of peace that overcomes the difficulty, and you find a place of rest, even when things outside are not very good. Let me give you an example. It's almost like everybody's driving on the roads. You're under the same conditions of the road. You're under the same weather in the road. It's hot and everybody's sweating, but you've got your windows up and you've got the aircon on. You're in the same conditions outside, but you have air conditioning that is giving you comfort. Jesus wants to give you some air conditioning today. Amen. And so, you begin to get more confident with life because you have given it over to God. You lay aside even all the contradictions that you're going through. You're giving it over to God. And the Bible says in Psalm 51 verse 17, it says the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, God, you will not despise. Just the way you are. He will not despise that. He will give you comfort. Amen. He will give you comfort. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 4. Paul said, who comforts us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Hallelujah. The last C is embrace His commission. You've gotten connected to God. You're having communion with Him. You have developed convictions with Christ. You have received His comfort. Now embrace His commission. You are positioned for victory. Can I hear an amen? You are positioned for victory. It is impossible for you to fail when Jesus is with you. As you obey Him, you are positioned for victory. The Bible there says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I look at it and I think His yoke is easy. So in other words, when you're yoked with Jesus, it's not necessarily a burden. Are you with me? Easy, in other words, it is good. It is suitable. It is serviceable being yoked to Jesus. It's easy. As a matter of fact, the reason why it is even easy is because anything God tells you to do, He gives you the grace to do it. There is no place God will send you that He will not give you the grace for it. Everywhere God sends you, He'll give you the grace. And the burden that He gives you is just a burden of freedom. You are free. Amen? He has set you free. That's the burden of freedom. The only thing that He tells you to do is not to use your freedom as an occasion for sin. So this commissioning, the only way your life becomes fulfilling is when you engage in what God has gifted you with. You engage. You can't be fulfilled if you're sitting on your gift. You're sitting on your gift, and some of you have been sitting on it for years. Years you're sitting on your gift. And all you do is complain. Ah, that's it. Do you know when you have a more positive look to life, things become better. Because you're looking for positive things to do. You're not looking for wrong things. If you're looking for wrong things, you will find them. There are plenty. You don't like my tie? There are plenty. Are you with me? But when we're positive with the things of God, you look for opportunity. And it's fulfilling. Very fulfilling. So I urge you. Embrace His commission. You will find rest for your soul. Embrace what He has given you. You will find rest for your soul. Amen? Get connected. Come into communion. Develop conviction. And receive His comfort. And when you have done that, embrace His commission. God is able to transform your circumstance. Jesus has given you an invitation. He says, come unto me. Come unto me. There is nothing impossible with God. Absolutely nothing is impossible. No matter what it is, and sometimes you think, okay, this guy is impossible. This woman is impossible. God is able to transform situations and circumstances. You're facing a difficult time? God is able to step in. The invitation is, come unto me, and I'll give you rest. Even that woman, God can touch her. You know the type I'm talking about? The ones when you walk through the door, they're like this. Mafumakwee! If I want to walk, what's the one for you? That type. Don't show by the showing of hands who has that type. And then for single people, be careful. Be careful. Be careful. Check them out. And don't go to an unbeliever. There are some nice chicks in here. Are you hearing me? Stay in the family. How come you're looking guilty? Stay in the family. Hmm? Praise the Lord. I want to, however faultingly I've done it, I trust that the Lord's invitation is clear. Come unto Him. Come unto Him. It doesn't matter what condition you're in. Come unto Him. If God wanted to get rid of you, it's very easy for Him. But He loves you enough to give you an opportunity to come to Him and make things right. And so I want us to, in the next few moments, pray for two different groups. The first group is that you don't know the Lord. You don't know. You've never made a commitment to God. I'm not inviting you to come into a church. I'm not inviting you to come into some kind of institution. I'm not inviting you to join a club. I'm talking about a relationship with Jesus. He's the one who is your sacrifice. He's the one who died in your place. He's the one who gave His life for you. He's the one who is able to change your life. And don't go away without making things right with Him. And you see, when I look at the Bible, I see the end of the story. I read the end of the story. And I wish the end of the story was different. But the destruction is genuine. And you don't have to be destroyed. You don't have to be lost. You can come back. You can, as you've been given this opportunity, you can make things right again. And it's free. It was paid for. You can sit in seat number 5C. And you don't have to pay any money. So I want to give an opportunity for those of you who want to make a commitment to Christ. Shall we bow our heads and close our eyes in prayer? And if there's somebody here, don't go away without having made things right. Show by the raising of your hand that you want to give your life to Jesus. Thank you for that hand. Is there somebody else? Raise it up so I can see it. You want to give your life to Jesus. Come unto Him, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and He will give you rest. This is your opportunity. You're making the greatest and best decision of your life. Raise your hand where I can see it. Is there somebody else across the audience? There's another one. Thank you for that hand. Is there somebody else? We're waiting upon you. Thank you for that hand. Is there somebody else? There's a hand there. Thank you for that hand. God bless you. This is the greatest moment of your life. God only wants to do you good and restore relationship with you. I want to give you an opportunity to just get off from your seat. I did this several years ago, so you're not doing anything strange. Walk toward me here to the front, and then we'll help you and pray with you to make that decision. So let's encourage them as they come. Come to the front and let's meet here. And we'll pray together. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. God bless you. If you didn't raise your hand and you still want to come, you're free to come. You're free to come. Just stand in front of me here, sir. Thank you. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make in your life. If there's anybody else who's coming, you are free to come. We'll wait for you. Praise the Lord. We'll wait for you. Is there somebody else? Thank you for coming. God bless you. God richly bless you. I don't know what your life has been, and it really doesn't matter. You may come. You may come. It really doesn't matter what your past has been, what you've done, and some things perhaps we're all ashamed of. Some things we don't even want anybody to know, but God knows. And the Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. What God is going to do to you now is to wipe your slate clean. He's wiping your past clean. There's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. And if you confess your sins and believe in your heart. You confess that Jesus was raised from the dead and believe in your heart. You shall be saved. It's a simple exchange. It's very simple. And God is going to come into your life and everything will be totally different. And the wonderful thing, the greatest gift that God gives to any one of us is our sins to be forgiven. Totally forgiven. So if the enemy comes back and says, you did this, it's the truth, you did it, but it's forgiven. It's gone. So I want you, by the show of your hands, just to raise your hands before God. We're praying to God. Can the congregation please join us as we pray? I'm going to make a prayer. You're praying it to God. You're not praying it to me. You're not praying it to the church. You're not even joining the church. You're praying it to God because we want you to enter the kingdom of God. We may never meet again, but hopefully we do. But your life is safe in God, wherever you will go. So I want you to pray this prayer after me out loud. Say, dear God, I thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to me. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for drawing me. And right now, I accept you, Lord Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. I repent of all my sins. Forgive me and cleanse me. And I receive your forgiveness. And today, I am your child. I am saved. I am forgiven. I am born again. I am now ready to walk with you. Thank you, Lord, for saving my life. Thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness. And right now, I am a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.